Good to see all of you here this evening. It's good to be here. As Brother Barron has already mentioned, and I won't ask him to stand, but we're happy to have my brother and his wife visiting with us. He's been talking about coming with us for quite some time, and finally it worked out. And we're glad that they could come and spend several days with us while we're here. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, and I must say, my message has been changed. Last week we began looking at the five wise and foolish virgins, and I said that tonight we would continue on with the delayed return of the bridegroom. But the Spirit has somewhat changed my mind for the message this evening. And instead, I want to share several other thoughts with you today. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me, please, to the Psalm, the second Psalm, and just one verse there, and then to the book of Isaiah, the 57th chapter. The psalmist asks a question. Why do the heathen rage? I'm going to change that word somewhat tonight. I'm going to use another word. Why do the wicked rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. It's a good question. Perhaps we've asked that many times ourselves. Why? When we see what is happening in the world around us and even in these little communities in which we live. But then when we turn to Isaiah, the 57th chapter, Isaiah 57, the prophet Isaiah adds a bit more to this. In actual fact, he gives an answer to that question. In the 20th and 21st verse, and I'm going to read it 21 and then 20, somewhat backwards. In verse 21, the prophet Isaiah says, "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But the wicked are like the troubled sea." We know what a troubled sea is like, don't we? "They're like a troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." Sure, the Lord will have His blessing to His word. Father, we pray this evening that You might take Your word and use it for Your honor, not mine. I stand there not in mine own strength, but in thine. Words not mine, but thine. Speak, we pray, this evening through us and to us. And, O Father, if there be one in our midst tonight who know You not as their personal Savior, may their hearts be challenged this evening. May they not leave this door, the premises, Lord, without accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Why do the wicked rage? A question asked and a question answered. Isaiah says, because there is no peace in their lives. No peace. Perhaps we all know, we've all experienced some time or the other in our lives when we were searching for a peace. Perhaps you're in this service tonight. And you still have not yet discovered the peace that we're talking about. Isaiah says there is no peace in their lives. And not only that, they are as a troubled sea. There's one thing that I enjoy looking at, and I know you fishermen don't enjoy it because it's not part of what you do. but I enjoy standing on the ocean side and watching the tremendous waves as they roll into a reef and then they mount up and cap and roll over and then come in to the shore. The wicked are as a troubled sea. When it cannot rest, isn't it beautiful to walk out on the ocean side and see the calm stillness of the water? It looks so pretty, so beautiful, so serene. But oh, what a difference it is when it's troubled. What a difference it is when it's rolling and pounding and making such tremendous noise and coming upon the shore with such tremendous force, and nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. It stirs up, the prophet says, dirt and mire. Dirt and mire. And our lives, he says, is like this. Our lives is like this. Perhaps some not as bad as the others, but our lives are in keeping with what he's saying. Beloved, from the very beginning of time, from the first day that man sinned in the Garden of Eden to this present day in which you and I live, sin has reigned supreme in the hearts and lives of every human being all over the world. All over the world. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53:6, all, A-double-L includes all, none excluded. All we like sheep had gone astray. We're turned every one into his own way. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one excluded. We can't sit here tonight and say, you're not talking about me. I'm not in that category. I'm not as a troubled sea. I have not sinned. No, we have all sinned. And none of us are excluded where God is concerned. Sin is rampant and it reigns in the hearts and lives of countless millions of men and women all over the world. And yes, right here in the Bahamas. And I'll bring it even closer home, right here in Spanish Wales. How do I know? Just look around. Just look around where we live. We don't have to go far. In our Bahama land, in our homelands, we witnessed personally the tragic results of the rage and the frustration of men and women who are trying to do the impossible. And you know what the impossible is? To live their lives without Jesus Christ. To live their lives without Jesus Christ as their Savior and friend. Never before in the history of the human race has there been such a period of time when man has so blatantly poured out his anger and frustration on his fellow man as we see taking place today. Do you agree with that? Never before. I've never experienced it in my lifetime, and I'm sure you've never. As we see what is happening, the rage and the frustration that man is perpetrating on their fellow man. And what we see is so sad. So sad. There have been some horror stories, perhaps, that we've seen even in these little islands. Many horror stories we've seen on television. And sad to say, much of it is being perpetrated by young men and women. Much of it, we see, is being perpetrated. And the sad part about it is this. The horror stories of the past, will be surpassed by the ones of the present and, yes, yet to come. They will be surpassed. We think we've seen it all. And God knows we've seen some horrible things. But my friends, I stand here tonight on the authority of God's Word and say this in our hearing. We ain't seen nothing yet. We need to prepare our hearts and lives, for the worst is yet to come. And I say that because of this. If man never changes, if man never changes from his present state and rejection of God's Son, he will grow steadily worse. He will grow steadily worse with each passing day. And we who are holder in this service tonight can attest to that fact. We can look back at our younger years in which we live, and we can trace them from then until this present day in which we live, in August of 2007. And it is unbelievable. It is unbelievable how men have changed. And I will say this tonight. I cannot say that men have changed for the better, with the exception of those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They have not changed. They have continually grown worse with each passing day. And if you live to see it, you will see even more and more than you would ever believe is possible. What is wrong? What is wrong? Well, we know, and we will begin with, that sin is to blame for it all. Sin is to blame for lives that are out of control, heading into eternity with no hope. With no hope. Why? Why is man willing to die and go out into eternity without hope, without Christ, to be lost forevermore? If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may the Spirit challenge your heart tonight with this question. Why? Why are you willing to live your life without Jesus Christ, knowing the consequences that is there? Knowing that you're not promised to see tomorrow? Knowing that you can be ushered out into eternity immediately? And we've seen this week on this island, and hearts have been broken, families left in tears, and those of you that were close to him, your hearts are pain, but our brother has gone on to be with the Lord, but it could have been a different story, a much different story, and perhaps if you're here without Christ, you could have been that story. And if you don't find Christ as your Savior, you will be one of those stories. And it's sad when there is the free gift of salvation, of God's love that's available. Available for the asking. All we have to do is come. Come and accept Him. Tonight, I would like to suggest two or three areas. There are others, many others, that man has no control over, and they have become enraged and frustrated by them. And I'm going to share them with you. Number one, man needs hope. Man needs hope. The Bible says in Romans 8:24, hope that is seen is not hope. So many today live their lives hoping and based on the things of life. Their hopes are on the things of the world, on the material things of life, of our everyday living. But beloved, that is not hope, because all that you may have and all that you may see is not yours. And it can be gone in a moment. In a matter of minutes, everything that you had your hopes in this life based on could be gone. taken away. You've experienced it. I don't have to remind you, Hurricane Andrew was a good story. A good example. A sad example. But it only goes to show you how things that we base our hopes in life on are not ours. But yet we become so entangled in them that we forget about the real hope. We forget about that hope that is far above all. Man needs a hope. Man needs a desire with an expectation that he cannot see or feel or hold in his hands. Man needs something to lean on and not a friend in this life. Not a wooden post or a chair. Man needs something to lean on. Man needs something to look forward to. Something that is steadfast and sure, that rises above the storms of life and the disappointments of life. You see, when our hope is only based in the material things of life, all of these things come upon us. And they distress us. They disturb us. They get us enraged. And we take out our anger and vent our frustrations on those around us. That's because our hope is in this life and not in God. But what do we see man doing? Man applies himself to the vanities of life. And there is so much working against us. So much working against him. Isaiah says, there is no peace to the wicked. They are as a troubled sea. They cannot rest, casting up dirt. Man seeks to establish himself with this syndrome. Me, myself, and I. We build our lives around that. Me, myself, and I. As the control point of our lives. We use that as the control point of our lives. I am in control of my life. Wrong. If you're sitting here tonight and you think that you're in control of your life and that you can do as you please and say as you please and go as you please and be what you want to be, I beg to differ with you tonight on the authority of God's Word. You are not your home. We are not our own. God is in complete control of our lives. And if He sees fit to take that life from us at any moment He desires, it's gone. The things that we have are not our own. If God sees fit to take them from us at any time in life, they're gone. So what is our life? What is this I? What is this me? What is this myself? Oh, beloved, this is where we need to stop and consider our lives. It's not me. Not I. Not myself. I can't establish myself. I can't control my life. I can do some things, I can be some things, I can say some things, but all things is of God, and God is in control of every human life, whether we want to believe it or not. Whether we want to believe it or not. You know, it makes us feel so good, doesn't it? When we can pat ourselves on the back and say, I'm my own man, I do as I please. Well, that's good. If Jesus Christ is a part of your life, but you don't do as you please then because you do to please Him. We feel so good when we can say, as the rich man of old, soul, thou hast made up for thy, so much in thy lifetime. Now, lay back and enjoy yourself. But what did the Savior say to him? Thou fool. Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee, and whose shall those things be? If you're living your life tonight in that syndrome of me, myself, and I, you're living a false life. You're living a lie. You're living a false hope. You have no one to lean on. And I question tonight, are you like this tonight? What is your hope built on? Is your hope built on the things of life, or is your hope built on things eternal? God knows. I don't know. But God knows. Listen, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:12, without Christ we're strangers from His promise. Having no hope And the end result will be as the story found in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. And I don't have time to go through it, but it's a story of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus based his hope on things eternal. He died, and the scripture says that he was taken by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man based his hopes on things material, on the wealth of life, on all that he had. And he felt that he had it made. But the scripture also says that he died. He died. And here's the sad part of it all. He opened his eyes in torment. He opened his eyes in torment. You see the difference? You see the difference of having an eternal hope and having a material hope? Eternal hope is heaven and the things of God. Material hope is just as long as life lasts, and then we go out into eternity without Christ. Lost. The rich man opened his eyes in torment, and the cry went out, Father Abraham. Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and put it on my parching tongue. Put it on my parching tongue. Beloved, there is consequences tonight if our hope is not in Jesus Christ. And the consequences is a lost eternity. The consequences is the same as this rich man experienced, to go out without Christ into eternity, and how sad it will be. But we will go out without hope and we'll be lost. Lost forevermore. I want to say something tonight. There's no return clause. There's no coming back. No coming back. And believe me tonight, the sad part of it all is that there are millions tonight who are in the same condition as that rich man found himself in. And they, even now, perhaps at this very moment, are crying out for someone to bring something to cool their parching tongues. They're wishing that they could be back in this gospel service tonight to hear the word of God, to hear the invitation from Jesus Christ to come. Come while you can. Let me give you a hope that is everlasting. They wish they were here tonight. But where are they? Sad. We hate to think about it. But beloved, it's a reality, and I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe it. No return, they're lost forevermore. Would you like to find yourself in that condition tonight? To go out without hope? Lost? Without Christ? No coming back in the condition that that man found himself in. Oh, think about it tonight if you're here. Seriously, I pray. Living a life without Christ is one lived without hope. I don't know how many of you remember the story of Jim Elliot and Nate Saint. They were missionaries to the Yorker Indians many, many years ago. But I don't remember which one wrote it. Whether it was Jim Elliot or Nate Saint. But he wrote these words, and they're words that have stuck with me ever since I heard them. They wrote, he is a fool who is not willing to lose that which he cannot keep, to gain that which he cannot lose. Did you hear that? He is a fool who is not willing to lose that which he cannot keep in order to gain that which you cannot lose. Oh, my friends, what a challenge. You can't keep it tonight. You can't keep it. You're going to lose it. But if you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have it all. You keep it. And you're going to see him as your Savior one day. Then I close with a second thought. Man faces eternity. We face eternity. We know it. We know it's there. We have no control over it. It's a time without end. It comes after death. And all of us are going to face it. There's no point in going home and putting our heads in a basket. It's a reality. We will all face it someday. It's inevitable. It's the unknown. It's something over which no man has control. And it's a troubling thought. It's a troubling thought. We can't see it. We can't feel it. We can't hear it. But it's there. And men dread to think of it. Men dread to think of it. But oh, this evening I can assure you on the authority of God's Word that if you're God's child, you don't have to dread it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to fear whenever it comes. Because God's Word is true. And it says that there is a new life out there awaiting His children. There is a reward, a new name, joy, peace, no sickness, sorrow, pain, no death. All of that is out there in eternity awaiting God's children. And for a believer, eternity is just the beginning. Just the transition from earth to heaven to be with the Lord forevermore. Not so for those who have no hope. It will be the beginning of sorrows like you have never seen. Like you've never seen. I don't know how many of you were in our Bible class in Sunday school this morning, but we heard of the results of what's going to happen when Jesus comes with His for His saints. When He comes to take His church away. Oh, it's going to be a sad time, my friends. It's going to be sad. And then the end times will come and men will stand before God who have refused to accept His Son and they will be sent out into eternity. Lost, no hope. Just like the man in Luke 16. But tonight as I close, I can assure you that there is hope. Thank God tonight for those of us in this building that have that hope. We can say we have a hope that is steadfast and sure, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Not in what I have, not in what someone else may have or have given to me, but my hope is grounded firm and deep in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Can you say that tonight? As you sit in this service, do you have a hope that is steadfast and sure? Do you have a hope that goes beyond the material realm of life which you now live? Are you living a life that is filled with rage, filled with disappointments, filled with anxieties, filled with all of the things of life that are out there? That so wretched, that turn men so wild sometimes? Listen this evening, my friends, Jesus Christ can change that life. He can change that life. Many of us there can attest to the fact, like the hymn writer said, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Nothing else, because nothing else is of relevance. Nothing else is as important. What's important tonight to you and I is the fact that we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That our lives have been changed. And that He loves us with an everlasting love. I wonder tonight as you sit in your seat and you've heard of these words, is the Spirit of God even now whispering into your ears? I love you. I love you. My Son died for you. I want you to come and live with me someday. I want to give you a hope that is steadfast and sure, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. You can escape tonight the terror of hell. You can escape that by coming to know Christ as your Savior. Won't you do that tonight? There's more. I can go on and on. But I think that you've heard sufficient. There is hope. There is eternity. There is a God to face someday. There is a God to face someday. The Bible says that we will all of us will stand before God one day. Those that have this hope will stand at a different time. We will already be home and we'll stand before Him. Those who do not have this hope will stand at the end of time. And you will hear, depart from me, I never knew you. Where is your hope tonight. How important is the hope that you now have? Is it worth dying for? Is it worth living for? Only you can answer that question. Let's bow our heads as we look to the Lord in prayer. I wonder tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed and every Christian praying, God has changed this message of mine for a purpose. He's speaking to some soul in this building tonight. You're here and you don't have that hope. You know what I'm talking about. You know the contents of your life. You know that you need Jesus Christ more than anything in life. Would you raise your hand tonight and say, Brother Girth, would you remember me in prayer? I need the Lord. I need that hope that you're talking about. Oh, is there one, beloved? While Jesus whispers sweetly to you, is there one? Is there one? Father God, we have spoken what you've laid on our hearts. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. We have sown the seed, Lord. You will reap. We commit these dear ones into your hand this evening, asking your blessing upon each life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want us to sing just one verse in a chorus of number 420, and then our service will be over. If tonight the Lord has been speaking with you, dealing with your heart, speak to me on your way out. Speak to someone that you know that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior that can point you to the way. Oh, I beg of you tonight, not for me, not for me. My hope is in the Lord. But for you, if you do not have a hope tonight, and you're going to go out into eternity without Jesus Christ, I beg of you, find Him before it be too late. Let's stand as we sing that song, number 420. Just the first verse in the chorus, and then the service will be over.